Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Praise the Lord. Exciting times. Exciting times are here. Hallelujah. Busy weekend. The saints are gathering. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And as we come together in fellowship and in learning and receiving what God has for us, we are very grateful. We are thankful that God would open up his word to us so that we might receive the strength and the power that we need to be sons and daughters of the living God. Thank God and being grateful for Jesus Christ who made it all possible for us to be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. We thank him and we open our hearts and our minds, our understanding, and we surrender our will to him so that Holy Spirit may impart in us the truth from the Word of God, the revelation of the Word of God, so that we may be able to stand, having done all to stand in joy, to stand in peace, to stand in the strength of the Lord, to stand in truth, and to be uncompromising. And one of the things that help us in this awesome position and posture that we are being placed in, we're being brought to, is the fact that there have been promises given to us that would help us to realize this goal victoriously. So it's something that we have to aspire to, you know, to press toward the mark, to know the mark, to understand the press, and to, for the joy of the race, endure whatever may come. And as we do that, we are given promises that we can hide in, rest on, stand in, stand on, and look forward to, and be comforted by them because they're going to bring the truth of the Word of God and the will of God for us into our lives in such a way that we understand more fully day by day how much God loves us, his plan for us, and his commitment, his covenant promise to provide all that we need. So we look at the promises of God. We've been looking at them for some time now. And we have been, excavating this. Okay, amen, amen. The mystery of the rainbow. Who doesn't know that that is a sign and a wonder even to mankind of God's desire and his intention towards earth, not just Christians, but to all the earth. So God has a commitment to all of his creation. He has a plan for all of his creation, and he has given us the comfort of his promises so that we may always focus on them and not so much on our circumstances and our surroundings and put it in the proper perspective. Categorize it as it should be. We are promised divine revelation. He promised to share his mystery with his children. He's promised that the inheritance in the king, in his kingdom are ours, that we have every blessing in heavenly places. These are promises that God has made to us. He promised a hundredfold return. Whatever you give up, he'll more than compensate, if you will, that he will more than make up for it. In fact, he will cause you to have a whole different life, a truly different life that's more satisfying, more productive, and definitely more hopeful, absolutely, because of his commitment to us. And so when we remember some of these promises, and I hope that you going to ask, okay, everybody be ready, give me a promise that you recall, that you remember. One of the things, and just look at the other chapters, and in the back of our book, okay, they're listing promises that this book was bringing out to our understanding. Promise that God said, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything we ask or think, according to the power that resides within us. That's from Ephesians 3 and 2. And this is a promise that we're seeing manifest in this season of our lives. We can see examples of this manifestation of this promise and the perfect provision that it supplies for us. And we see that he has a far, far greater gift for us than we could even think about or to imagine. We couldn't imagine the extent and the truth, not just the truth, but the substance of what he wants to give us. And so often, because we oftentimes are those, right now, let me see it, let me feel it, let me touch it, and otherwise it doesn't seem real. But these promises put us in a position where we will see it and touch it and feel it and know it's real and just be amazed at it and amazed and in awe of him and all that he does. And humble gratitude grows in our spirit. Humble gratitude grows in our spirit. And so I want to read to you my thing wiped out with it. But anyway, and so there's other promises. It says Jesus, by the grace of God, experienced death for everyone. We have to believe that. We have to believe that he died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven and death would no longer have a sting for us, because now we are have access to eternal life. And then to understand that causes us to really eliminate some fears and some worry that we may have. Another promise is this new man is created in true righteousness. And so often we don't understand the true righteousness that's placed upon us by Jesus Christ. And through this righteousness, this is how we have access to the things of heaven, because God doesn't see us. He sees his Son in whom we believe, and his blood is cleansing and providing for us this heavenly position. So I ask you, what promise do you stand on today? What promise do you stand on today? The lines open. Feel free to just share a promise, just one promise that you are standing on today. Amen. The lines are open.
Good morning, Overseer.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Now, I'm because I just got on, so when I got on, you were saying, what promise do you stand on? I don't know if you were looking for a particular promise or not, but the promise is Proverbs 16:3, that if I commit my works unto the Lord, he will establish my thoughts in those areas. So I stand on that promise, because it seems like no matter how prepared I think I am, or what I think I know or don't know, or whatever, just having the assurance that I can commit my works, whatever it is that I need to try to figure out. And then that he also says that, you know, if we lack wisdom, you know, ask, and he'll give it to us liberally, that we don't have to plunder around in the dark. We don't have to guess what his will is for us. Number one, it's been published in a book, and I don't mean published because it's printed. I mean, you know, he has given us his word,
right,
and it is alive, and it lives within us. That is the promise, Proverbs 16:3, that if I commit that my works, he will establish my thoughts, and he has been faithful. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, I just don't understand, and it's like I can hear it in the back of my head. Well, did you ask me? Did you consult me? And so many of the times, you know, it might not be my plan A because I just haven't even thought about it, just being so used to being self-governed in a way for things that we consider minor and ordinary. But he wants us to consult him on everything, you know. And so to the extent that that happens, having the assurance that when we do that, that, you know, we don't have to worry about our own sensibilities, you know, because, you know, the God of the universe got our back.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anybody else? A promise of God. These are very, we need to have one really honestly written in our hearts, just as Elder shared, because it's a constant connection to God and to his resources and his heart for us. And so it is that inner Holy Spirit bringing us heaven's conversation, even correction and enlightenment and revelation. And as we're walking, just like you would going somewhere you don't know how to get there, you trust your GPS and you put something in and you trust that what they tell you, if you follow it, you'll get to your goal. And that's the same way these promises are. So you got to put a promise in your morning, in your day, so that you can get to the place that you need to be. Remember, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. So these are all promises, and there's so many things that you probably truly depend on God for, but you don't view them as promises. But these are things that help bring the reality of heaven, the spiritual reality of the kingdom of God into our daily, the fabric of our lives. And when it's the woven fabric in our life, there's some things that just won't fit anymore. There's some things that just can't abide in it because it just doesn't fit. And so we do want to be able, you know, to express these promises and thank him for giving it. You know, thank you, thank him for knowing me so well that he knew I would need it, you know, in order to dwell as an overcomer, that I would need it to be overcome even my own flesh and my own understanding. One of the things for me is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge God. And here's the promise. He will direct your path. He shall direct your path. Like Elder Zephyr said, you know, it's like, wow, I don't understand this. You know, what you trying to do? Don't lean to your understanding, you know. It's all your way. Just acknowledge me. And so that's just pretty much
almost like the mirror, not reverse, but just another layer. And as you were just talking, it was making me think, I mean, I was getting a kind of an image of, if you think of yourself being boxed in, because there's so many promises, I don't necessarily know that I walk around thinking of the promises like that. That one I do, because that just had, you know, I've just done some really stupid things. But that one, and like you said, in all their ways, and then, you know, Psalms 23:6, you know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That it's almost like if you think of just some of the ones that we know, not not even if you got to go search, but the ones that we can right. finish, that he has kind of boxed us in if we just are cognizant of he's made provisions. He would that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul does prosper. When you think about your soul prospering, you know your will, your mind, your intellect, your appetites, you know, that prospering meaning being fruitful. You know, obviously I'm preaching to the choir, talking to the fellowship. But you understand what I mean? That us being prosperous and fruitful. And when we do those things in a very organic way, then the natural sustenance and substance that I think that we in the natural kind of gravitate toward will just happen, because he's already promised to fulfill each and every one of our needs, you know, and he gives us all these examples about, you know, wildlife and nature and how, you know, yeah. they don't spin, they don't toil, you know, and is it anything more majestic and excellent than when you're looking at the species of birds and flowers and animals and whatever, you know, that everything, you know, every single thing that he made is good and spectacular and awesome just all by itself, you know, let alone the whole concert of creation with us being yeah. The crowning, you know, of the things that he has created for his own good pleasure, you know. So I think that one of the things the Friday Fellowship does for me, and I'm going to get off because I know I'm rambling, but one of the things it does, it keeps me in contact on a weekly basis, because sometimes the rigors, and even when it's not being rigorous, it should probably be more rigorous, but even when it's not, of leadership, you know, in the kingdom can make you go in a whole bunch of different ways, you know, overzealous, apathetic, you know, whatever, you know, just self-governed, just all kinds of things can just come up. So, I thank God for the opportunity and the ability to just connect on a weekly basis. To me, it's kind of a grounding, you know, so even when I'm don't know where we are in the book, or when I do know where we are, or sometimes just handling the different scriptures and hearing the testimonies from the folks that are on the line and the occasional just random person that's in a truck, you know, somewhere in Idaho who happens to, you know, pick it up, just reminds us that God can do whatever and use whatever, because, you know, we really don't know how what someone hears or, you know, what someone says. Sometimes you don't really know how that affects us or affects someone else, I put it that way.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing. That's wonderful. Anybody else, honestly? As she mentioned, there are so many, and when someone says, yeah, I know that. But let the Holy Spirit bring to your remembrance one and share that with us this morning. Remember, this is our fellowship. Okay. One promise? Well, for us, born again believer.
No, it's not one caller. I'm here as well. My cousin Pat gave me his number, and so I just wanted to say Dolores Victoria Burns is here as well.
Amen. Thank you so much for speaking. Absolutely, and for joining us. Welcome. And I was going I think one of the things that we all know and remember is how everybody learns this scripture, and that's John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? Just say it in unison. Everybody.
For God so loved the world that he gave his
only begotten Son, shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And that's the ultimate promise. Hallelujah. And we do know it. And we really depend on that. We depend on that love of God We depend on that expression of the love of God to enter our lives so that it transforms our lives. Because a lot of us, let's be for real, we weren't real pleased with the kind of persons that we were before that love transformed us. Even if we weren't a bad person, we were not necessarily a good person. And we were self-centered and self-consumed. And there were so many things, you know, that caused the, I'll just say the ugly to come out of us, okay? Certain things that we would do, even we were ashamed of. It's like, oh, brother, you know, did I do that? Yeah. And that power of that love transformed us. And so that's a promise that we, as believers, we go, we stand on that till eternity. And then when death comes close, that's a promise that we're really depending on, you know, because we need its power to engulf us, to bring us that peace and that joy and that revelation, the revelatory insight of what it really means to be a child of God and that he will come. Mm-hmm. I remember my mom, and she was sick on and off and for years and years, and she said she had a dream. And she said that she was laying in the bed and she was sick. And she asked God, she asked Jesus, she saw Christ. And she asked him if she was going to die. And he told her, I will come and get you. And so there's a comfort. Remember, we talked about dreams and visions and how they come to us to bring us to a place of peace as well as comfort and warning. That's what we found out last week, that sometimes these dreams were given to individuals as a warning to make them become sober and alert to a thing, to make them become knowledgeable of things. And so there are promises that I'll be with you even until the ends of the earth, that I will never leave you. And so those are awesome promises that we depend on whether we're sick or well. We depend on it. You know, I think that everybody on the phone has heard the promise that no weapon formed what?
Against me shall prosper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a promise. That's a promise that gives you comfort in the middle of your struggles and of the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it lets you know he's promised me it won't prosper. It won't bring about the desire that the enemy has forced me, is not going to work. Amen. And so we do. We want to remember that these promises empower us to stand in the midst of storms, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of chaos, you know, in the midst of fear. People all around us are concerned and they're anxious, their anxieties, and they're fretting over different situations that have become just so increasingly evil in the world and so devastating to just humanity. And yet there is a comfort that God says, when you hear these things, don't worry about it. He gave us that comfort. He gave us that promise that this is going to be.
May I say something?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I believe. I'm sorry. Is it appropriate that I say something, or should I just be quiet?
No. We want conversation and dialogue. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. It also says, I'm not sure, I think it's in Psalms, but it says he'll make our enemies our footstool. And and I also know, I think
that.
I heard. I'm sorry.
I think
go
you
ahead.
Say that.
And I also know that I think this is a song. Well, I'm not sure where I heard it was before, but I think it's a song that says that the situation I'm going through right now, when I look back, I realize that it was His grace. And when I look back, I guess I can't remember exactly what the words say, but I took it to mean that when I look back at my current situation now, I'll be happy because I realize it was God's mercy and grace that carried me through.
Amen. Amen. And those are promises. And like I say, sometimes you may not know the biblical address of it, but you are aware of that promise, and you depend on it. You depend on it for your feet. Anybody else has a promise they would like to share?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Bailey.
Yes,
Pastor. My promise took me to James 4:7-8, where it says, so submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. And then 8 says, come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful heart, you double-minded people. And that promise for me, goes to placed in a situation, or I'm going to say job, and it's like, you know, you can look around and see that you the only believer there, and you can look around and see the spirit where it's coming against you, and you get downtrodden, but if you just stand, he'll remove them or remove you from the situation. And I learned that all money, not good money, because it's just not. Especially if it's stripping your spirit. And, oh, man, so if you just resisted, and I resisted and just kept being positive, kept standing on his word, kept believing in faith, he removed me from that position. And my daughter said, Mom, I've never seen somebody happy to be fired. But if I just resisted and stood there and believed that he placed me there for a season, and he removed me too, when whatever I was supposed to have been doing, or just carrying the message and being peaceful and happy, no matter what you're throwing at me, you still not going to take my joy. So that was my promise.
Amen. Hallelujah. Or anybody else?
This is Dolores again. I apologize, but I just recently learned a scripture in Philippians, I believe, chapter 4, verse 11. And I don't know about her, but it talks about no matter what situation I'm in, that, you know, I ask God to help me to remain content. And, my father just gave me that scripture the other day, and to me that means whether I got everything I got or whether I have nothing at all, that the God that I serve, my love, and that I love, will help me to be content no matter what I got. And I just praise God for my father, for my family. They've always had my back, regardless of what I was going through. And I'll say it, I've been battling with addiction for joy for a very long time, but my father gave me a scripture a few days ago, and for me, I just feel grateful because right now I'm not using, but there are other circumstances in my life that are going on, and I praise God for that scripture in Philippians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 11, that no matter what I have or what I don't have, my Father in heaven will help me be content. And I tell you, I've been content, and I thank my Father for that.
Amen. I want to share with you, this was the beginning of the book, because sometimes we get involved in a book and, you know, we pass chapter 1 and we go on towards chapter 23. But we're going back to chapter 1 where it says, there are 7,487 promises in the Bible. Sacred pledges God has made to his sons and daughters. Compare that with 31,173 verses in the Bible. When you work out the math, you'll discover that about one-fourth of the Bible consists of commitments God has made to his people. Of course, that figure can't be exact, you know, because every verse may contain several promises, and another verse may not contain any. But still, the comparison is enlightening. Eventually, evidently, one of the main reasons of the Bible exists is to convey to God's people who divine his to God's people those divine assurances that empower them to be overcomers in every situation. And here is a daring statement. True believers will never, again, never face any situation in life where God hasn't already, in advance, given them a promise powerful enough to push them through the opposition to sure victory on the other side. And we have to remember that there is never any situation that has not, God has not in advance, even before we got there, he had this promise in place that brought power that we would need to push through that opposition, that situation, that challenge, that those circumstances to sure victory on the other side. So it says if you are depressed, there's a promise. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you are weak, there's a promise. He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Do you struggle with doubt? Here's a promise. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So in other words, don't doubt. God, Jesus started it, he wrote it, and he will finish it, and we will see his in heaven with him, because he said, I'm going to prepare a place. Are you battling sickness? Here's a promise. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Are you financially strapped? Here's a promise. You may remember, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. All right, and that's in Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Are you thinking God will give up on you? Here's a promise. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13 and 5. Are you afraid of death? Here's a promise from the lips of Jesus himself. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall yet live. And that's in John 11 and 21. By now we should be convinced, no matter what the negative promise is, there is going to be a positive promise somewhere in the Bible to cancel it, to conquer it, and lift you up above it. Most people remind God of their problems when they pray. Men and women of faith remind God of his promises. And so this is what we want to do. One of a suitable situation is whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. You might call this scripture the old 1-2 strategy. One, calculated punch intended to knock out an opponent. And it's a really powerful for me, that particular one, because that's what the Lord gave as the scripture for Kingdom Church. So the young people will know you can overcome the world. You can overcome the things of the world and the situation and the power that the world may want to exert over you. You have power to overcome, and that power is your faith. And so we want to build up our most holy faith by exercising the truths that are found in the promises and those the promises of God which empower us over the things of the world. And so as we've gone through this book and we've looked at God's promise to give us dreams, God's promise that we would all prophesy, which is truly just declaring the word of the Lord, God promised about spiritual weapons of inhabiting our praise, turning cursing into blessing. These are all things that our God does. This is what our God does. He blesses us. We have angelic intervention, and let's never forget that exceedingly abundantly above all. I just so love that because he's so manifested in the life of the church today. Okay, amen. So we're now looking at the signs and wonders. Does anybody else have promise or promise revelations that they want to share, insight, or experiences?
Overseer, I know that I've been hogging a lot of time, but I just wanted to say to Sister, I think she said her name was Dolores, that you are absolutely right in that Philippians. In that Philippian scripture, whether abase or abound, as Paul was talking about, that he can do all things through Christ that strengthens him. And because we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we can also do all things through Christ, no matter what it is. And to piggyback on my sister, Pastor Bailey, when she was talking about that, you know, that you resist, we just stand. And God will still make easy and successful our way. It might not look the way we want. You know, sometimes there are things that happen that don't work the same way, that don't work out the way we think in the natural would be the most efficient or effective way. But God has a way of doing things that you can't do anything but look back and say, it was God. And lastly, when we're talking about the promises, like the promises you just read, Overseer, which I'm going to have to look at that like every morning or something. You know, I mean, we need to just get those where we just say those all the time. And I think we do, but I don't think well, I shouldn't even say we. On a proactive basis, you know, when not prompted. But what I also wanted to share was just in his promises that he even drills down from the general to the more specific with us, where he tells us that he numbers our hairs and he bottles our tears, that he writes our name in his hand, and then our name is written in his book, you know, that we are his beloved, you know. And so when we're looking at the big promise, you know, think about those specific promises that even as we go through, and he sees us, but what moves him is our faith, you know.
Yes.
But
he is cognizant, yes. You know, to think of your hairs being numbered and your tears being bottled, you know, it to me is mind-boggling.
Amen.
Like, I don't know what that's going to be in heaven, but the fact that the Lord says it, I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of acknowledgement that we would be able to see that, you know, in every situation. You know, it says, you know, that we will be like him at that point. So whatever he does supernaturally, the things, just the minute things that we can keep in our little brains, can you just imagine
Jesus,
what God would really open up for us? Think about it in the natural, and you see some people with just incredible abilities. We all have those abilities to a lesser or greater degree. And because we are empowered by the creator of the world, you know, there is nothing that we can't do that's in his will for us, you know. So we need to open our hearts and open our minds and be receptive and work in unity and community to make this happen, in a, you know, on a kingdom level. But anyway, I'm sorry it took up so much time. But sister, glad to have you on, and bless you. And pray in your strength for struggles, all of our strength in the struggles that we walk through.
Because
we are more than conquerors.
Go ahead.
You know, we win. It's a done deal. It's a
I would like to ask a question, and I hope I'm not being inappropriate. This is Sister Dolores. I've been married 4 years to a man who he is an ordained minister. However, him and me has used drugs on and off through this marriage, and I have reached the point where I have decided, my mind is made up that I want to leave this marriage. But what confuses me is I know that I made fat vows before God, but I also know that as long as I stay in this marriage, I'm going to myself continue going off and on drugs. And prior to this marriage, I had a stability of 3 years of sobriety, and I know that I don't want to go back to the woman I was before 3 years, before I had my sobriety. I want to surpass her, but I'm confused because I know I made vows before God, but I want to cut off this marriage because as long as I stay in this marriage, I'll be held back. So if anyone can help me see, is it wrong because I made vows before God to marry this man, but I also know as long as I stay with him, I'm gonna be where I'm at, and I'm tired of being stuck. So if anyone can help me out with that decision that I made, am I wrong?
Okay, you're absolutely right. Okay, on one level, but this is where the Word of God will bring revelation to you. You can remain married. That means you are keeping your vow to God. Now, you may not be physically in the same place that he's in, but you will always regard him as your husband. You will always carry yourself as his wife, but you will do so in an environment, okay, that will nurture you spiritually so that you can pray for him. So there's a lot of details involved in that. And I would just encourage you to call me, and we could talk about it offline, okay? I'm excited that you understand you made a vow to God, and a vow to God is not to be broken. And even though there are things and people say, well, they do this and they do that, it does not matter because God is a God of covenant. And if he broke covenant with us, when we didn't do what we're supposed to do, okay, we would all be in hell. So he wants us to look at his example so that we understand how to treat one another, okay? And it's like he loves the sinner. He loves the sinner, but he does not love the sin. And so there's things that he does, and just as there's things that you can do. And like I said, you can call me later, and we can go into more scriptural support so that you're able to stand. Now, one of the things Elder Deborah shared, and that was that, you know, we all kind of know these promises, but, you know, we don't speak. What we have to do is that God looks at our faith. Well, one of the things, we know these promises, and then we're given the promise that the power of life and death is in our tongue. So we have to declare these promises. That's why he said, pray the promises. Speak them out your mouth. That's where your faith is made known to the world as well as to God, and he'll honor that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why sometimes we live in below the standard that we're able to live in, because we have not out of our mouths declared it. We have to speak it. And speaking doesn't necessarily mean reciting a scripture, but it's speaking the precept and the truth that's revealed in that scripture, in that promise. And so when he says, set a watchman over my mouth and a guard over my tongue, you know, I can repeat the scripture, but I need to know that I need him sitting in my heart, guarding what's in there, so what comes out of my mouth will be reflective of who's sitting on the altar of my heart. So it's more than just once a week I said something bad. No, it goes deeper. And so there's so much that the promises will bring to us when we learn to declare them. And that's how they stay before our sight all the time. And this is not just for you, Dolores, but it's for all of us. We have to know that the power of the promise comes in the declaration, because the scripture says we overcome by what is the blood of the Lamb as well as our testimony of faith, our testimony of this is what my life was, this is what it is now because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's prophesied. You know, when you're declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these are things that our lesson is indicating, is showing us this week signs and wonders. And it says in Isaiah 8 and 18, see, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And so these signs and wonders are women as yourself who believes in God, know that they're married, but honor the vow they've made, but honor it according to the wisdom that God gives them. And this is the sign and wonder, because what it's saying is people will see your response to your situation, and they will wonder, how she do that? Okay? And that wonder then becomes your testimony of the living God. There's a sign, there are signs. They indicated that a sign is usually something natural and visible that represents something spiritual and invisible, such as the rainbow representing God's promise not to send global flooding again. So a sign can also be an extraordinary supernatural happening from God that confirms and validates a certain truth, prophecy, or spokesperson. And so that supernatural happening, oftentimes that sign is the ability of those without ability to skillfully produce something that you go, how on earth did they do that? You know, how did the two-year-old play Mozart's concerto? Okay? That would be a supernatural, extraordinary happening that could only come from God empowered. That's what the anointing of the Holy Spirit does on the lives of the children. It supernaturally empowers us so that we do things that cause the world to see a sign that God is alive and at work, alive at work and powerful. There's a wonder, is a miraculous event that causes those who see it to be filled with worshipful awe as they recognize God's greatness. A wonder is a miraculous event that causes those who seek it to be filled with worship and awe as they recognize God's greatness. And so we have been given, he said, these things will follow those that are mine. Signs and wonders will follow those that belong to me. In history, God has manifested signs and wonders to verify his involvement in the affairs of his people. One of the greatest examples of this is how God affected the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. But also how how God also brought laborers for Christ into their own home. That's a sign and wonder. That's a pivotal point in history that then causes God's promises to manifest. Remember, we're looking for manifestation, maturation, mantles. Yeah, I forgot to. But anyway.
Momentum.
Thank you. Okay, and so this is that manifestation. That's a sign. You know, let the world see and know. Just like he told the children of Israel, you'll know that I have chosen Joshua and placed him over you just as I chose Moses, because I'm going to do this thing. He also parted the Jordan River in the eyes of the people of Israel, so that they know, just like Moses parted the Red Sea, Joshua parted the Jordan River under the power and anointing of God. And so that gave validity to his leadership. And sometimes God will do wonders just so people will, it does validate the men and women of God that he sends to lead the people. So that's why some people who you know that they are anointed by God because of the life they live, of the signs and wonders that follow them, and it just doesn't kind of make sense, you know, when a congregation of 15 people, I told somebody, is 50 people, and we counted all the kids we have. So, but that could bring about a thing like this. You know, it's not us. We're not doctors. Well, we are some are doctors. But, you know, we're not the affluence of the world. You know, we don't live in mansions and you know, jet here and yacht there or anything.
Right,
we don't have banks
right.
and that sort of thing. However, he will make wonders happen on behalf of those who are faithful to him and belong to him so that the world will see and know. And you know what? It kind of makes them stop, like, wow, you know, what is it about this? That's like that burning bush. It makes you stop and wonder, whoa, what's going on here? And they look and they evaluate the situation because they know that naturally it could not happen. Naturally, it could not happen. And so those are some of the things, the signs and wonders. We want to look even about us in the natural. These are signs and wonders that God, what he has said in his word, is coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
We had, last year or the year before, that four blood moons. And these were things that were spoken of in Scripture. And so he manifested in the earth realm in reality. So it became visible, that which had been foretold of. Just the condition of the massive fires and the unusual and intense weather patterns that we are experiencing. And all of these were foretold in Scripture, and so they become signs that testify to the invisible as it relates to the Word of God, that men will see it come alive and come to pass and give validity to those that said it by demonstrating it in the earth realm. And so let us be good signs and wonders unto the Lord, because we belong to him. And it's our promise, they shall follow them. That's what God has said. Signs and wonders shall follow those who belong to me. They can't help but do that because of who I am. And so we do want to make sure that as we go forth, we keep before us the image of our Father, the truth of our Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are moldable by him so that the signs and wonders that are produced in the earth realm will draw men unto him and cause them to seek the only true and living God. So anyone else have a comment on the lesson of the promises, of the signs, the wonder in our class today? Okay, the lines are open. Promises, signs, and wonders. All right, then. Well, we appreciate everyone's participation.
I don't have anything to say about signs and wonders,
okay,
but I do want to ask for your phone number so you can help me through this situation I'm currently in.
That's the problem. I think Minister Pat is your cousin, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, she'll give it to you. She's on the line.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
That is not a problem at all, dear. Not a problem.
All right.
Overseas. Yes.
Oh, I thought I was still not. I came on late, but what I've heard was truly a blessing from him. And what I keep hearing from him, just be still and know that he's God, and just wait on him. And you know, in whatever situation and circumstances you're going through, allow God to be God. You know, and as we keep our mind in perfect peace, he keeps telling. I keep hearing so clearly, if we keep our mind stayed on him, he will keep us in perfect peace. As our mind is saying, I began the scripture it is that I know that peace is the promise of God. That is what the scripture today, that he keeps saying that he himself is our peace. And so that is my name today. I know that with his peace, with his strength, and I think with even just, we just pray the promise of God and peace and strength, and then you giving her what she needs. So we thank God for that. And thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? All right, then. Well, I pray that you all will be present tomorrow at the prayer breakfast. Remember to turn your clock ahead. Time springs ahead this weekend. So you lose an hour. So that's change the clock so that we're not late for service. 10:30 Sunday morning. So praise God. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Have a blessed week. Amen. Cousin Pat, can I call you when we hang up?
Yeah, I'm calling you now, babe.
Okay.